This morning is Holy Communion service. So first, we read Bible and we will have Holy Communion service. And the title, today's title is Christ Himself. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's read. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip His people for works of service. It has been a while since we have read the book of Ephesians. So far in Ephesians 4, 1 through 10, we have read about how each one of us has been called as a unique and precious being in the grace of Christ, the one God, with one spirit, one baptism, and one faith, and made into the body of Christ, full of life and vitality. Add in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which we have just read, we read about the precious and the specific role and office given to each one. Each one of us as the body of Christ, in particular, the words I want to focus on and consider this morning are the words Christ Himself. The word translated Christ Himself in this Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 is He in original Greek text. In other translations like Chinese, Korean, and Japanese, other translations translate the word He as in the original, and some do not. A New International Version and Japanese Shinkai Yaku translate the word to Christ Himself, not just He. I found the words Christ Himself in this translation to reach my heart. Through my eye, the word came into my heart. So this morning, I would like to explore the deeper meaning of this translation, Christ Himself, as I imagine it. The word translated Christ Himself, the Greek word autos, is not strictly speaking just a person pronoun. He is or just He, but a pronoun that carries the emphasis and the person's one intention, He Himself. Therefore, the translation of autos as Christ Himself is not an intentional translation, but rather a very good one that actually captures and reflects the deeper connotations of the language, the ambiguous He of the third person singular gives the sense that Christ Himself did so with a clear intention, not as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, but as Christ Himself. as I meditated on the word of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, thus Christ himself has established some as a gift as apostles, as prophets, as evangelists, as pastors and teachers. I was drawn to this meaningful translation. I felt little strange by Christ himself. Why go through all the trouble? It's really bother or if Christ himself, who is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the image of God and God, who redeemed the lives of sinners, that's it, then there is no need to go through the trouble of setting up human beings who are still sinners. Even though their sins have been forgiven through the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ, since he is the Almighty One who created heaven, earth, and all things, he can snap his fingers and do his will in an instant. Why didn't he do that? If God is God, why doesn't he just overwhelm everything, perfectly do the work of salvation that he wants to do by himself alone? Christ himself gave a role to equip his people for works of service. Those who are not perfect or complete, but rather are full of deficiencies, wounds, weaknesses, shortcomings as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. The Apostle Paul, the author of the book of Ephesians and one of apostles, confessed that he was a man a little account, born in less than a month, ahead of sinners, the least of the apostles, and unworthy to be called an apostle. And yet, Christ himself has set up such a person to accomplish his great work of uniting all things in heaven and on earth in order to accomplish his work of salvation. This is what makes me feel uncomfortable, strange. In my own shallow human way of thinking, I wonder why he would do something that seems so inefficient. The Apostle Paul was once troubled and wondered about the same thing. Why did God appoint Peter and the other 12 disciples as apostles, who had neither power, wealth, education, position, nor honor? And why would he have them speak of God's love through the mouth of sinner, who persecuted the church like himself, proclaim Christ's salvation, and raise up believers in him? If he were to say that he would raise up a Roman emperor or lord with great influence over the world, well, that would be understandable. But he would not do so. Furthermore, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. So why did he even love such a person? Do what seemed to be unprofitable, sleeping and eating together for 3 years? Why did he use a sinner, an ordinary human being who never moves in the way he wants? And when he does, he is self-centered, always eager to make things happen the way he wants them to, with the possibility of turning it into his own achievement, position, or honor at any moment. Why? Trace of thought why are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. First Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was preached through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Through the foolishness of what was preached, Paul realized in his own life and through the words of the Bible that the Lord Jesus himself had decided to advance his work of salvation by daring to use the mouth of people who were far from perfect, flawed, weak, inefficient, and who never seemed to have a smooth road ahead. Paul was made aware of this through his own life and through the words of the Bible. Though we may seem foolish, dull, lacking, immature to our human eyes, God dared to share his foolishness, dullness, and immaturity with us, to share, to carry, to share, and to work together with us. God himself has decided to save those who believe in him, not by matching our steps to his, but by matching his steps to ours. In the Bible, there are many people who say, oh, such a person. But God does not say, oh, such and such a person, but rather, because of this person. Because God loved this person, because of you, God is the only one who can be God, but he has decided that he does not want to be God on earth. In John chapter 13, Jesus also said, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus, does not speak of love without us. Nor does he want to be God without us. We can love each other, but which doesn't perfect. We are so busy with ourselves, with our own vanity, and with our own pain, that you are blind to God, to others, and even to our immediate neighbors. God has decided to express himself as God through our very existence. Which is Bible message. There were many weak people in the Bible stories. But through But God decided using ordinary people, and he showed his glory. Paul was reminded of God's decision in his own being, and he was crushed and filled with the magnitude and depth of grace of that decision. What do human eye may seem to be an inefficient, unwise, and wasteful decision, described as through the foolishness of what was preached, is the love of God, the depth of God, the height, breadth, and the length of God, as it goes on to say in verse 25 and beyond. Corinthians verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become of us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boast in the Lord. God is proud of each of us. God does not say you were disgrace, you were hindrance, delay, and obstacle to my work, but rather, you are my pride. That is why the Apostle Paul says, he who boasts in the Lord, he says, boast in the Lord's love, in the Lord's forgiveness, in the Lord's salvation, in the Lord's generosity, in the Lord's patience, in the Lord's being with me, in the Lord still living in me. How blessed it would be if I were moved before this wisdom of the Lord. I believe this is the profound meaning of today's scripture, Ephesians chapter 4:11, that Christ himself did not do it alone, but Christ himself consciously and intentionally set people up. So let's look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5-6. I would like to conclude by confirming a little more about how God feels about us from the word of Revelation. Let's read. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from death, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and the Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. In verse 6, has made us to be a kingdom. This same phrase can be found in chapter 5, verse 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. You have made them to be kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. You have made them to be a kingdom. I am also a little feel strange with this phrase. You have made them to be a kingdom. People become two kingdom. The reason is that in the earthly world in which we live, countries are divided by nation borders, and the people exist for the sake of what is represented as a country, rather than for the sake of people. As in national interest, national power, patriotism, for the sake of the country or behalf of country, and so on. The kingdom of God is not a country or kingdom for the sake of kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, but we ourselves are a country or kingdom where each one of us is respected and honored to the greatest extent possible. In other words, the true kingdom of heaven is the true kingdom that has been richly restored and perfected in that each individual's character and existence, which should be a kingdom, is most respected, which is lacking in this world and in the nation of this world. The kingdom of heaven is where the love of God has for each of us as if we were himself is fully manifested. Therefore, in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, patriotism is not questioned. It is a place where our existence is respected through the precious and unique sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, for our sins, not for the sake of the national interest or behalf of the nation. Each one of us is precious life, nation itself before God. That is why, as we read in today's scripture, Christ himself, in working out his Christ himself is working out for us, has set up each one of us as equally precious as he is. Each one of us is precious life that Christ himself has established. We wish to be body of Christ so that we can respect this fact the most. Let us pray. Dear God, you are God. But you decide you survey us through people, and be God through us. We share your work and your decision together. When we failed, when we hurt, when we suffered, please let us remember Christ himself. Christ himself gave a role to us. So, thank you, your words. Well, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.